brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Well, I'm not sure about that anymore because I don't know if it's just because there's a Shark Week is coming up or they're just doing old backlogs of Shark Week documentaries, but I think we're getting beat out by sharks this week.
You're getting Justin excited when you talk about sharks.
Oh, definitely.
Look at him. He's all, you know, his fins all up and everything.
He's drooling.
Yeah. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
You know, today it's going to be a pleasure to be in the basement.
Yeah, it doesn't stink to be
with
us.
Or without pants.
Please, with pants. With. Once. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Pleasure to be here in the basement. Thank God I brought my sunglasses. I don't have to look at Brent's see-through pants.
I wear blinders like a horse. That way I don't see left or right. And good old boy Justin.
Oh, good morning. What a pleasure to be here.
Does saran wrap count as pants?
For Brent, it does.
Yes, it
does. If you're like, you know, trying to make weight on the wrestling team, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. There's always that one kid in school, you know, wearing the garbage bag into class.
Yeah. Cut that hydration.
Yeah, exactly. And good old boy Harmeet.
Thank you, Bob. I would love a hammock right now. Those high-proof whiskeys got me mellow.
Well, could be what we put in those whiskeys, but I'm just going to... Yeah.
And there's a big saran wrap machine here. I'm in for trouble.
A little bit of roof and all and some saran wrap and some heavy weights and a canal behind my house. You know, it's just an interesting day's entertainment here in Florida.
I am training for Jello wrestling.
Bob pleads the fifth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alligators got to eat. So, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, pretty much anything you can sip on. And here are the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. From Waterford, we have the Waterford Ballybunnan Irish Single Malt Whiskey, Edition 1.1. We have the Waterford Finniscourt Irish Single Malt Whiskey, Edition 1.1. Fortuna Kentucky Straight Bourbon, Angel's Envy Cask Strength, the 2022 release. Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond, the Fall 2022 release. Parker's Heritage Collection, the 2022 release. Heaven Hill Heritage Collection 20-Year Corn Whiskey. And from Abe Smith Bowman, their cast strength batch number 2. So let's go to Justin and have him tell us about our sips ratings.
Must we?
Yes. So today...
That's a little creepy. That sounds like a guy in a van with no windows.
It's Ronald Reagan. You're close.
No.
No. Nope.
No.
Nope.
Not even in the same stratosphere. Right.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it sounds like the guy that drives the van that says free candy.
Free candy.
Mm-hmm. Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting.
That already creeped me out. Just that,
What was this again?
Interesting.
Do you remember Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah. It puts lotion on its skin or else gets the hose again.
Finish up like that. That would be less creepy. Yeah.
Four sips.
Slightly.
Well, let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
It's just going right down the tubes.
Yeah.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I just threw up in my mouth.
Well, we just lost.
I feel like you should have ended that with mommy.
Yeah. It's just, oh, Lord, have mercy. Where's bedtime for Bonzo when you need it?
Stop looking for sound effects. Bob, why don't you tell us about the first whiskey?
I'm not sure if I can after that, but okay. So our first couple of whiskeys that we have today are from Waterford. Waterford Irish Whiskey is the latest project from Ruck Rainier. He was the man behind the rebirth of the Brooklady Distillery, which we love. Maybe not Brent, but normal people, yes, normal love. After the sale of Brooklady, he decided to focus his efforts on a new project, believing that the barley, and more specifically, the terroir in which it was grown, was the true essence of the whiskey. He wanted to make a whiskey that was singularly about the barley. So he purchased a recently shuttered brewery in Waterford, fully equipped with the best equipment in the state-of-the-art hydro mill. And then he purchased the old stills from Brooklady, brought those over, had them refit at Forsyth and Speyside and installed at Waterford, and set about realizing his dream. So this is terroir-driven whiskey made from barley from individual Irish farms with no coloring, no chill filtration, no finishes, no nothing. So each bottle of Waterford bears a unique code. If you roll it over, it has a little QR code on it. And if you scan that, it gives you absolutely to the most minute detail about the farm, its location, who the owners are, how long they've owned it, the soil types, how much sun it gets, how much rain it got, when they planted, when they harvested. I mean, literally just hundreds of data points. It even has a thing you can press a button and listen to sounds in the field, like hear the birds chirping and everything. So we've done Waterford before. I think we did four of them in one show, and it was pretty remarkable how they all tasted different, considering they're all coming from the same place. The only difference is the farm. So our first one is going to be the Waterford Ballybannon Irish Single Malt Whiskey Edition 1.1. This one's 50% ABV, 100 proof. The first peated editions from books at Waterford. What'd you say?
Woo! Yeah.
Thank you, Brent.
So, yep, peaty.
He's so happy. The barley for this expression was grown by Tony Pender and the Ballybannon Farm. It was harvested August 8, 2017, distilled on September 17, 2018. It was peated to a phenol level of 47 parts per million using peat from Ballyteague, County Kildare. Aged for 3 years, 8 months, 7 days, and 30% used American oak, 21% new American oak, 30% French oak, and 11% VDN barrels, which are Vino de Naranja, which is an orange wine produced in Andalusia, Spain. It's white wine marinated with an orange peel. So on the color, it's a very pale straw. You get that smoke on the nose. You get that citrusy note, sort of like Seville oranges and lime, or limes, Seville oranges and lemons.
I get lemon peel. Orange and lemon peel.
You're just contrary.
And on the palate, it's got a sweetness up front. It's orange blossom honey, just a little bit of that wispy smoke. It's not overpowering. It's more smoky than peaty. And lemon peel, lemon peel, lemon peel, lemon peel. The citrus on this thing is huge. It's got a lovely sweetness to it. It's got a nice finish. I'm digging this one. Let's talk to Brent because I know he'll hate it. So okay. He hates anything smoky.
Well, when you have a smoky peaty, you know, automatically you think of that burnt rubber and stuff. But this is not like that at all. This is, they've really done a great job. It's the smokiness that is a nice smokiness. Mm-hmm. And they blends very well with the orange and the lemon that you get with it. And overall, it makes it very nice. And that's why I don't understand why some of these other ones, why they have to go so far on their peat. Because they can, huh?
Why isn't you eat the whole foot long when you know you don't need to eat the whole foot long? You know you're full at halfway, but you eat the whole thing anyway, right? Because you can. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So this is pleasant.
Yeah.
So when you hear peaty, smoky, you know, some, you know, you, I like peaty and smoky in what? in moderation like this.
Liar, checking liar, you for pants on fire.
In moderation like
fire,
this.
You know?
Liar,
I mean, I'm shocked how well the citrus goes with the smoke. I mean, they play really, really. I would have never thought that much orange and the smoke, but it plays really well together. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this.
And I was also going to say, I like the peaty smoky, you know, the smokiness on my barbecue more than I like it in my whiskeys. But
oh, we can hook you up with that.
So. I hope so.
What do you think, Justin?
So usually when you drink Irish whiskey, it's double or triple distilled.
This is non-chill filtered, and it is a refreshing change from the ordinary. I really enjoyed it. What'd you think, Harm?
Still going to be triple distilled.
Yeah, has nothing to do with that.
Dope. Irish whiskey is triple distilled. Straw color. I got a little bit of hay on the nose. Medium peat.
Hey.
Orange and lemon peel, definitely. And I got toasted cumin. Toasted cumin is the spice I'm getting. Smoky orange on the palate. A little creaminess. And then, again, the cumin and the fruit coming out.
I think the
out.
Toasted cumin's left over from your mom's cooking last night. I didn't get actually, any cumin
I'll,
on this.
I'll give him that one. Yeah. I definitely get it.
The cumin's there, dude. I ate American food last night.
Yeah, it's got a toastiness to it. It wasn't nutty. I was trying to place it. I'll give him that one.
It's toasted cumin. It finishes medium with good smoke and spice, and I really enjoyed this. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I was not. This is not. I generally don't drink Irish whiskey, and I generally. The few Irish whiskeys I do that like that are peated are much more peated than this. This is a very good balance. I was quite surprised.
Anybody else got anything else to say? You just got quiet all at the same time.
Well, you know.
Right. Right. That blew their minds with the toast and cumin.
Well, I wanted to clarify. You mentioned the stills being installed in Speyside. Are they in Speyside or are they in Ireland?
No, they were refit at Forsyth and Speyside.
Forsyth is the people who did the refitting.
They're the ones who build the stills, so
but
it was rebuilt
back in,
there.
But they're back in Ireland.
Yeah.
And Brocklady's in Islay. So they sent the stills from the old stills from Ireland to Speyside.
They refit them there. They sent them to Waterford. Yeah, one place to the other place.
Oh, no. How did you graduate med school, man? What's going on?
I cheated.
A good Irish whiskey.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to be rating the Waterford Ballybannon Irish Single Malt Whiskey Edition 1.1. A well deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So let's move on to our next one. We're going to have Justin tell us about that one when we get back. And I'm going to drink some more of this one.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing some whiskeys from Waterford, so we're going to have Justin tell us about our next one.
So our next whiskey is Waterford Fenniscourt Irish Single Malt Whiskey, Edition 1.1. It's 50% alcohol by volume, or 100 proof. The second peated editions from the folks at Waterford. The barley for this expression was grown by Gare Byrne on the Fenniscourt. Harvested on August 10th, 2017, and distilled on September 10th, 2018, the malt was peated to a phenol level of 38 parts per million using peat from Ballyteague, County Kildare, aged 3 years, 8 months, and 5 days, and 33% used American oak, 18% new American oak, 20% French oak, and 29% VDN barrels, which is vino de naranja, an orange wine produced in Andalusia, Spain. White wine macerated with orange peel.
That's exactly what Bob said last time.
Mm-hmm.
So on this one, it's creamier. It's got an orange zest, creamier than the first Waterford. I got a heavy orange on the palate. I got cream. I got barley on the finish. Nice and sweet, medium length. What did you think, Maury?
I think I agree with you. I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'm shocked that you had so many words today. I'm thrilled.
I wrote them down for him.
It's because they were written. Yeah.
But I can't argue with a single one. I think you nailed it.
Brian? Yeah. This one to me, you know, last time we had four different expressions and they were all different. This time we have two expressions and they are so similar.
Similar.
Except for this one, I think is a little bit creamier. And this one has a little bit of white pepper on it that goes with it. So,
oh, and the smoke is definitely.
Yeah, the smoke was down on it.
From 47 parts per million down to 38 parts per million. I wouldn't think there would be that big a difference.
But
I
don't care about the measurement. There is a vast difference in the smokiness between these two. Vast.
So you're saying the subjective.
What are you? So while you guys, I mean, it's hard not to compare the two because they're right next to each. So it's, but they're so similar. Mm-hmm. They're so similar that you know, if you didn't know it, you could almost be tasting the other one a little bit.
Well,
you know?
That's the point that they're trying to do. They want you to compare one release to another release because what you got to remember is, I mean, in this case, the peat levels varied, but other than that. And all of their whiskeys, the only thing that varies is where the barley's grown.
Yeah.
You know, everything else is exactly the same. It's just where the barley's grown. So you're getting the differences.
Have this one with a really good gumbo.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I did not enjoy this one as much as the first one. It's not because there's less peat. I felt like it had a little funkiness to it. I got a lot more orange than the first one. I got a little bit of pear and apple as well. But the smoke was kind of weird, had a weird funk to it. It's just it's not off-putting. It's just different.
That's why you got to have with okra and some crawfish.
I fix it. I definitely enjoyed this one. It was like I said, for me, it was vastly different.
Okra, crawfish, and the level of smoke.
Yeah. Agreed.
But this one was sweeter. I don't know if it's because the smoke was lower and the sweetness came out more. But this one was definitely sweeter. This was definitely creamier. All in all, and a very enjoyable whiskey. So. We're going to be rating the Waterford Fenniscourt Irish Single Malt Whiskey Edition 1.1. Well-deserved. Three sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to go to Brent and have him tell us about our next whiskey.
Thanks, Bob. The next whiskey is Fortuna Kentucky Straight Bourbon, 51% ABV, 102 proof, 6 years old. So at the height of America's original whiskey boom of the late 19th century, a German immigrant named Phil Hahnbach crafted a brand called Fortuna. That helped define the early days of the modern bourbon industry. Hahnbach left a lasting mark on the whiskey trade, having found great success in Louisville, Kentucky. He strived to delight customers far and wide by sharing some of the taste of good fortune provided to his family. The whiskey in the original Fortuna brand was produced for Hahnbach by the Stitzel brothers at the old Glencoe Distillery. The brand suffered the unfortunate fate of many bourbon brands and went out of production over 50 years ago before being revived by three partners, Pablo Moix, Peter Nowalski, who founded the Rare Character in 2021, and Andrew Andy Shapira, son of Heaven Hill's president Max Shapira. Each batch of the new Fortuna bourbon is made from batches of 6 to 12 barrels of Kentucky Straight Bourbon, aged a minimum of 6 years. So the first thing I want to say is that when the Kentucky Straight Bourbon whiskey, you always have these same kind of notes that you're used to of the vanilla, the caramel, the cherries, the leather, the wood, and this one didn't have that, especially on the nose.
I get a little bit of cherry.
A little bit of cherry, but you don't get all those typical. And on the palate, I got. I got like a candied almond. It was like a marshmallow nougat. I got some cinnamon.
Marzipan.
Some cinnamon. Marzipan. Yeah, okay. You guys can say marzipan. I'll try to describe it individually.
They can sell it, but they can say it, but you can't spell it.
Right. I can't spell it either. So
it's got a lot of letters in it.
Right. Armadillo. That's all I can say.
But it doesn't really, if you poured this in a glass and didn't say what the spirit was.
I would not pick it out as a
bourbon.
I would not pick it out as a bourbon.
Thank you.
I would not pick it out. It's just not your typical, doesn't have your typical bourbon notes, your typical bourbon nose.
Could be a cordial palate. Yeah, it's really,
you know, so I'm a little bit, it's not like it's bad though. I mean, it's a nice,
it's lighter than you would normally expect.
Yeah, it's a nice little sipper, but it's different than your normal bourbon. Justin?
On the nose, I got an egg cream. classic egg cream drink from New York City. On the palate, I got the marzipan. I don't know where you got that from. Usually Rachel's on 42nd.
You were probably dreaming about it last night.
Nah. And then after the marzipan, I got orange cream. And I would agree with everyone that is not a typical bourbon profile in any way.
Nobody mentioned flowers. I'm getting floral notes. And on the palate, Jordan almonds, marzipan, and violets.
Well, I think that orange cream that Justin was saying is kind of like the flowery note that you have a little bit.
He said egg cream, not orange cream.
Egg cream.
No, but on the palate, you said orange cream.
I meant egg cream.
Oh, see that?
I might have said orange cream.
I'm getting violets.
I'm drunk.
Taste it again. There's violets. That.
Violets?
Yeah. Violet is turning violet.
I'm telling you. It's creamy, marzipan, and violets.
Well, I mean, it smells like bourbon to me. You're not fooling me as to what it is.
We all say it doesn't smell like bourbon.
Well, you guys are idiots.
Yeah, we agree. We agree with that statement.
It doesn't smell like bourbon.
But we are all right.
Smells like bourbon to me, but I mean, you know, I'm getting like the
whiskey. You're smelling the wrong glass.
It's whiskey.
It's not
bourbon.
I'm getting the vanilla in there. I'm getting a good bit of the flowers.
There's so much floral note to this. I almost thought it was a scotch.
It's like a bottle of perfume.
I'm getting like burnt brown sugar. The one thing that I'm getting is the one thing that he picked up on as well is that candy corn.
It's freaking candied violets and candy corn.
Yeah, it's definitely candy corn on the nose. And on the palate, it's marzipan, 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 marshmallow, nougat. It's everything.
Some more marzipan.
Every fluffy white confection that you can come up with. Hmm.
No, I think this was a contentious whiskey for us.
How many bourbons are you saying that you have the marzipan
or marshmallow?
You don't. Or marshmallow. That's what I'm saying. That's why we're saying that this one is different. This one is different than what you would normally get.
I've tasted marzipan. I could, sure.
A little bit.
I'm not going to say marzipan cut bomb. Bob, but I think he's just wrong.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm sitting next to him and I have a knife. I'm just saying. Well, we're going
to
be rating.
Bring a knife to a gunfight.
We're going
to
be rating.
I would not shoot him over this. I would cut him, though.
Yeah, you in your dreams. We're going to be rating the Fortuna Kentucky Straight Bourbon 3 sips.
Interesting.
Interesting is the word for it.
So let's. It's interesting as heck.
You know, right. I mean, it's interesting is the word that we needed for that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. What I'm trying to figure out is, you know, why you're getting that flavor profile. You know, what was different?
Yeah.
Was it the location of the barrels? Was it the barrels themselves?
Was it the water? Was it was it right? It's so, okay, well.
Let's go on to our next one. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. Angel's Envy was the creation of the late Lincoln Henderson, former master distiller for Brown-Forman and inaugural member of the Bourbon Hall of Fame. Lincoln was a pioneer in the premium spirits category and was the man behind such iconic brands as Woodford Reserve and Gentleman Jack. During the process of making the regular Angel's Envy, they would occasionally come across a few barrels that were exceptionally good, in which they decided to hold on to for a future limited release. This became the inaugural release of Angel's Envy Cask Strength in 2012. Now, a regular annual release, whiskey fans line up outside of the downtown Louisville distillery every fall in hopes of securing just one bottle. So this next whiskey is the Angel's Envy Cask Strength 2022, coming in at 59.5% ABV or 119 proof. It has a beautiful mahogany to burnt copper color. On the nose, leather, brown sugar, caramel, creme brulee, marshmallow, and a hint of green apple and citrus. On the palate, classic caramel, brown sugar, a creamy, beautiful mouthfeel filled with vanilla, toasted oak, and a hint of black pepper. The finish is long. The whiskey is delicious. It's beautiful. It's mouth coating. I think it's a perennial favorite of mine. I think it's a perennial favorite of many of the guys around this table. That's become harder and harder to get hold of, but nonetheless, always a delicious whiskey. Again, I can't say enough good things about this whiskey. The 2022 does not disappoint. Harm?
I'm sorry. Everything you said was right. What should I say? You know, the only thing is, I didn't get green apple at first, except with air. It was just to me like it was apples.
It took a little while. It didn't appear initially.
It's like when you taste it, it comes out as green apple because of the acidity. But I didn't get that acidity in the nose. Apples and caramel, definitely. The creamy mouth feel. Little black pepper on the finish. I mean, it was just a bit woody for me on the finish. But other than that, it's a beautiful whiskey.
That's what she said.
Brent?
Yeah, I've got all of them from 2012 to this. I don't have this last year's. But, you know, going back on some of them, this one, I think, is one of my, while it's really good.
It's not your favorite.
Not my favorite, right. You know, not my favorite. And I would have to put it towards the bottom of the list of the ones I prefer. Wow. And this one's got a little bit, the best way I can describe it is like, I get like an over pepper, and then a dryness to it that comes about
It's a little too woody.
Yeah, from the woodiness. So, but it's still very enjoyable, you know. So, Justin?
Sadly or happily, I just pretty much have to agree with Brent. Very good whiskey, but not as good as the other Angel's Envies that I've had, which are normally just perfect. This is just very good.
Oh, that ice cask.
You wouldn't kick her out of bed.
No.
No.
That's not saying much coming from me.
His threshold is fairly low.
You guys are dumber than a box of hair.
Yeah. Well, last year they came out with the ice cask, right?
Mm. I love that.
That was amazing. You know, and if you have to compare that and this one, it's they're two different complete animals, you know?
I'm not going to say it's my favorite one. What I am going to tell you is this is different from pretty much most all of the others we've had.
True.
Right.
Which I do find interesting. Having one, you know, one that's off of the regular profile of, say, last year and the year before. So that I kind of dig.
But the nose is so promising, but the palate doesn't match up. And
I kind of dig the woodiness of it. You know,
I agree. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's...
Japanese would love it.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say I could sell a boatload of this in Japan. Oh, my God.
Judge what's in the glass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sell it all.
This would be $2,000 a bottle in Japan. Yeah, good Lord.
But what's in the glass is fantastic. You're just comparing it to something that was in your glass last year.
Yeah.
It's true.
So why do you say that about the Japanese?
They do.
Well, they love wooded whiskeys?
Yeah, they do.
Love they do.
A little more overly oaked, a little more extracted, yeah. I mean, that's in the 70s and the 80s. That's where all the older bourbon was going because that was just the palate. So,
right.
Well, we're going to be rating the Angel's Envy Cask Strength 2022. Well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So let's go to our next one, and we're going to ask Mr. Happy to tell us about that one.
Oh, my. Why, thank you, Bob. This is good old boy Mr. Happy. Old Fitzgerald Bottle and Bond Fall 2022 release, 50% ABV, 100 proof, is 19 years old.
Good luck finding it.
Mm-hmm. Good luck finding this because the
this
secondary
is close as he's getting to a 19-year-old in his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's been close barely before. Legal. That's why he spent some time in the slammer.
Yeah, that's why he's not allowed near schools.
Right.
This is the 10th release of Old Fitzgerald and the oldest expression to date on this line. Made from barrels produced in September 2003, pulled from across three floors of Rickhouse F and one floor of Rickhouse X at Heaven Hill, the main distillery campus. This is a beautiful burnished copper. The nose, candied orange peel, oak, vanilla, oak spices, and herbs. And what else did you guys get?
I got a clean wood oak, a clean oak.
Not freshly sawn, but not funky old
not
oak.
It's not overly charred. It's not really toasted.
Right.
It's
right. If you were going to go to a lumber yard and smell a piece of oak, that's what it's like.
Yeah. Definitely so the palate, it's rich too. And mouth coating with the woodiness from the oak is there. It's huge woodiness here.
This is a family show. Please stop talking about your woodiness.
Well, I get orange and like a little bit of a cherry bomb there. The finish is quite long. I'm going to put some water in that. And there's a little bit of chocolate coming out, cherries and chocolate on the finish. And oh yeah, this is just gorgeous.
The funny thing is that queen oak is on the nose, but you get that bit of a old, funky oak,
that old that older funk, oak, old on, funk on the palate.
On the palate,
yeah. You're right. You're right.
It's two entirely different kinds of oak, one on the nose and one on the palate. But you get that funk, right?
Also on the palate, you get some leather. I get some leather and the vanilla and cherry. Yeah.
I'm not getting as much leather as like on the last one. This is more clean.
Really kind of old, worn out leather.
It's the old funkiness really comes through with this, really kind of brings it out.
Like an old suede jacket?
Yeah, you know, like it's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with this at all. It's just pleasant.
No, it's a delightful whiskey. It's beautifully made. It's just...
I want to say, when I first tasted this, I did not love this as much as you guys. And now with air and water, oh my God.
It is just...
Fantastic. I had a little bit of time. Water. This is not a pour and drink. This is a pour and sit.
Yeah, savor whiskey. Savor this whiskey.
Yep. Yeah, well, it sat in that cask for a long time and needs a little time to get itself...
It took 19 years to get to you. Let it sit there a little bit and enjoy it. And
at least 19 minutes. At least 19 minutes.
Let it enjoy itself for a little bit.
If you could find it. Unfortunately, it's going to be almost impossible to find.
It's totally unobtainium. A lot of stores in Florida got one bottle maximum, maybe two. So
this is if you're the lucky one that got one, you're in good shape. It's just... It's everything that you want in an older whiskey and none of the stuff you don't want in an older whiskey. It's just so well put together.
I was drinking a 20-year-old last night that wasn't anywhere near as good as this.
No, this one's fantastic. Well, we're going to be rating the Old Fitzgerald Bottled in Bond Fall 2022 release, a well-deserved 5 cents.
Oh, my goodness.
And the reason we're doing the fall release now is because we didn't get it until the very end of the year, beginning of 2023. So they came out kind of late, at least the ones, samples
they
that we
came
got.
Out late. I'm surprised they sent
this
it.
This is like one of them we would usually do on our fall release series, but didn't make it for that. Same thing with a couple of the others on this show. So, and we're going to be back to discuss some more whiskey.
Just the destination. But baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing some fantastic whiskeys. We just finished talking about the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond Fall 2022 release, which was amazing. And we're going to have Brent tell us about our next whiskey.
Okay, get ready to play some fine music on this one, because this is the Parker's Heritage 2022, 66.1% ABV, 132.2 proof. It's uncut, non-chill filtered. The mash bill is 78% corn, 10% rye, and 12% malted barley. So this is the 16th edition of the Parker's Heritage Collection called the Double Barreled Blend. It consists of 67% of 13-year-old Kentucky Straight Bourbon whiskey that has been double barreled for 4 weeks and then blended post-aging with a 33% 15-year-old Kentucky Straight Bourbon whiskey. The 13-year-old bourbon from barrels produced in December 2008 was aged on the 5th to 7th floors of Rickhouse Q and then re-barreled into New American White Oak barrels with a level 3 char for 4 weeks. Then it was later blended with 15-year-old bourbon from barrels produced in January 2007, aged on the 2nd and 5th floors of Rickhouse 2. Like all the previous releases, in the collection, a portion of the proceeds will continue to support ALS research and patient care in honor of Parker Beam, Master Distiller Emeritus. That too. With more than 1 million contributed across the Parker's Heritage Collection since 2013.
This is such a weird oak regimen.
Strange.
Well, I mean, you know, when you just read about what they did, the places, you know, the four different locations they got it from, the multi-years that they got it from, double barreling it.
Why were they doing that? Was
double
it
barreling
up?
It, and no,
were they
I mean,
trying to fix something?
It was a cover up.
He always does too. Experimental you're covering it up. Stuff. You know?
I mean, it did a lot to this, mm-hmm. you know. So on the nose,
it's my ex-wife's name's tattooed. I've changed it to my good daughter's name.
Pretty much.
So on the nose on this one, it's very much, you get a lot of oak on the nose. And then you get the butterscotch, the caramel.
And then you get some oak and some more oak and then a little bit of oak.
And you get a little bit of cherries in there, some dark cherries on there and stuff. On the palate, high oak. I mean, we are talking, this is probably the most oak tannin bourbon that I've had. So if you want wood, this is it. You know, you get some spiciness to it, a little bit of sweetness from vanilla and caramel.
I should go to Home Depot to buy a couple 2x4s, but yeah, you can't make it there.
How did no one say that's what she said?
You can chew on some wood and you would have the same effect, you know, but this is nice. You know, if you like this stuff, this is a really nice. Yeah.
It's just different. It's not mainstream. Yeah. It's not quite geek, but it's not mainstream. It's just heavily wooded.
Yeah, and the finish, you get some. You get a little bit of like that bitter chocolate, the dark chocolate on there. Yeah, you know, and some a little bit of like a pepper.
The cherry did come out a little bit too.
So
yeah, I get really the cherry on the cherries. But
I get the cherry
really,
on the finish.
It's a beautiful expression. It's nice to have something like this come out again that's so different and so enjoyable. You know,
well, they really went the extra mile to make it different and woody.
And
I think they accomplished that very much so. What do you think, Harm?
I mean, I've contributed as much as I'm going to contribute, man. It's okay, different. Justin? It's woody.
I got like Winn-Dixie cream soda on the nose along with the butterscotch and the caramel.
And there's no cream soda here. It doesn't matter what grocery store it's from. Where are you pulling that from?
Quick check.
Butterscotch,
from Winn-Dixie.
Yeah.
Quick check.
Oh, they have God. The cream soda. Yeah, the quick check. On the palate, I got like heavy wood, spicy notes. It was really beautiful, but I liked how the nose just kind of hinted there was something interesting, and then the palate said, yeah, there's really something
interesting. You know what? I don't smoke cigars, but I would smoke a cigar with this.
I'll smoke a cigar with you.
I don't know that this is so heavy wood for a cigar. You'd have to have a very mild cigar to go with it. It's
Connecticut.
It's got to be super mild to go with this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You wouldn't want a big, big heavy.
You wouldn't want a Maduro with this.
Right.
No, it'd overpower it.
Right.
No, I'm digging it. You know, you get in moods, and
this whole show's been contentious.
That heavy kind of oak mood, anyway. But I get a little like a
perfumey
flower thing on the tip of the nose.
There's more flowers in the last one.
Let's take a vote. Sure. Who thinks Bob's always in a mood?
Has anyone seen a picture of Bob smiling?
Never.
Not once.
It doesn't exist.
And
2 out of every 100 pictures, he's smiling.
Not even 2.
Baloney.
And I have the 2.
Baloney.
You have them.
Produce them.
You've used them as blackmail.
Produce them.
Blackmail, no. I will. Mm. I'll be on
nice.
Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm going to keep really smiling thing is huge. Photos on
His
Facebook.
Thing, the oak is huge, but it's not, you know,
the tan is not so drying that you can't drink it.
Yeah.
But the oak flavor is
huge.
Big.
Yeah. And that's the thing. How do you get that much oak in it and not get that much extraction, that much tan?
The tan.
And the finish on it is just like, oh, God.
So oak brings you vanillin, lignins, and tannins, and something else I can't remember the name of.
Magic bourbon.
You've been drinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's it's a very, very pretty whiskey. Absolutely pretty whiskey. So we're going to be
as pretty as that skirt
it's
on
handsome.
You today.
Handsome.
We're going to be rating the Parker's Heritage Collection, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So bring up Justin, tell us about our next whiskey.
Oh my God. Our next whiskey.
Oh my.
Thank you, Justin. It's been really nice hearing from you today.
Heaven Hill Heritage 20-year corn whiskey. It's 50.
I've never seen one.
You're going to see one today, my friend.
Have you ever seen one before today?
They sent us a tiny sample.
I have not seen one before today.
They didn't send us a full bottle. They sent a tiny sample.
Let's not be critical.
No. We want to thank them for sending this sample.
Be happy you got what you got.
Thank you.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Although a 5-gallon bucket would be appreciated.
Yeah, we'll take that too.
55-gallon cask for me. Thank you.
15.
Where did you leave off?
57.5% alcohol by volume or 115 proof.
Woo!
It's 80% beautiful corn, 12% malted barley, and 8% rye.
Could it's, call it a bourbon. It has the very same mash bill as the last one.
So what? So corn whiskey has to be how much corn? If 80. You corn whiskey?
80%.
Okay.
The last one was 67%.
So why not call this bourbon?
78.
Well, you can't.
Why not call this bourbon?
I think they could call it either one.
Yeah, this is what they chose.
Yeah.
So I think corn whiskey, I think mellow corn, which is, I don't understand why people drink it.
Mellow corn's amazing. Delicious. With a Twinkie.
Stop it. Delicious, you are a Twinkie. Yeah.
Okay, I am a Twinkie, but okay, go on. Twinkie. The newest release from the Heaven Hill Heritage Collection, the 20-year corn whiskey features some of the distillery's oldest inventory of aging whiskey. This release is made up entirely of 110 barrels produced in October of 2002, pulled from the third floor of Rickhouse 1K. So on the nose. That's pretty
awesome.
I mean, that many barrels from one floor and from 1 year.
Unreal. On the nose,
21 years ago.
Rhubarb, a little bit of menthol, prunes, pine cones on the palate, corn nuts, cream. The finish was unreal. And I got just a little bit of rye in the end. I'm in love with this whiskey. And what did you think, Maury?
I'm speechless. Wow.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting whiskey. Nobody has a 20-year corn whiskey on their shelf.
I don't get corn nuts on the nose.
We do in the basement today.
I don't get a lot of corn, period.
Period, right.
For a whiskey that's 78% corn.
80%
corn. Well, 80% corn. It just doesn't drink like a corn bomb. No. It doesn't drink like corn pops. No.
The other thing that 20 years worth of aging.
So and it's a low floor.
The other thing that surprised me is, you know, Heaven Hill is very, very much into the bottle and bond. So I was kind of surprised that they did this one at 115 proof.
Oh, but so, any less, it would be flat.
A crime.
Yeah, did anybody get cherry cola on the nose?
Yeah. Palate, I got it.
I got cherry cola on the nose.
Oh, I get a little bit now. The little bit of cherry and pine cone I get.
Yeah.
It's picked up some beautiful color from the barrel. This deep mahogany you guys didn't really talk about.
It's not deep mahogany.
This one is so creamy in the mouthfeel.
It's burnished copper. Come on, man.
It's just the creaminess in the mouthfeel. This just goes on and on and on. And then all of a sudden, it just develops a couple dry spots on the side of your mouth.
Yeah.
And that's when you know you need to have another sip.
Right, more.
Another pour. You know, it's like telling you, okay,
where's the bottle?
Pour me another one here. You know, that's what.
Does anybody have the bottle?
That's here.
Just a great expression.
Is it the round one?
Creamy and smooth, vanilla, cherry, long finish.
Yeah. Well, the thing you have to remember is
I cannot believe how good this is for a freaking corn whiskey.
Corn whiskey isn't just.
You don't need other grains.
Corn whiskey isn't just the amount of corn. Okay, 80% of corn or higher it has to be, but it also has to either be in uncharred or previously used charred barrels. So,
this can't be bourbon. These are used barrels?
You can't, no, uncharred, new, or previously used barrels, one or the other. So the 80% corn does not disqualify from it being called a bourbon. You can have 98% corn, and if you put it into a new charred oak barrel
container,
then it is bourbon. But in this case, if it's corn whiskey, then it's either new barrels that are not charred or it's previously used barrels.
So they could be charred, so these could
and
be
it has to be 80% corn or higher. So
we don't know what the barrel would.
Yeah, I don't know what the barrel wood is, but I don't care.
It doesn't really matter.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
Because let me tell you, if they're doing exactly the same thing to mellow corn, please stop selling it for the next about 10 or 12 years and just put this out, because this is absolutely stunning. I mean, damn, this is good. It's just, oh, menthol and cherry on the nose.
But it's improved with air. I would say you got to be patient. Do not pour this and drink good. It down. Well,
as great as it is when it comes out of the bottle, and it gets better with it. I mean, if it...
It had that pine straw forest floor kind of back hint on the nose, and that's pretty much blown off. But
I didn't get as much pine as you guys. It was very more candy.
It wasn't pine like the green part of pine. It was like, you know, the pine straw on the ground. But on the palate, it's just wow.
Mm. Yeah, okay, I'll give you pine straw. Wow. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Wow. This is just candy. Well,
where are we going to rate this one, Bob?
That's so good.
These go to 11.
That would be my choice, but unfortunately, we only go to 5, so we're going to be rating the Heaven Hill Heritage Collection 20-year corn whiskey a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, good luck finding it.
Yeah, it's a unicorn. If you have yacht money, buy it.
Yeah. Well, if it, you know, was that available, it probably wouldn't taste that good. There's a reason it tastes so good. Is there's not a lot of it, you know.
110 barrels. Yeah.
That's a lot of bottles.
That's what depends on the Angel Share.
Yeah, 20 years.
Angel Share, yeah.
Yeah, you have any bottles?
That's why I intend to get 5 bottles, because I've got the yacht money.
Okay, yacht man.
Thank you, Robin.
All right, Harm, tell us about our last one and make it quick. We're running out of time.
We're running out of time. A. Smith Bowman Cask Strength Batch Number 2, 72.25%
ABV. Thanks, nice having you
144.5%
today.
144.5 proof.
Ooh,
that's age a minimum of 10 years. Barrels are hand-selected by master distiller Brian Pruitt and David Bach. The second release in this series is uncut, non-chill filtered. The color is a beautiful burnished copper. And this is basically owned by Buffalo Trace. They send it to Bowman, where they distill it one more time, and then they do their own aging. This is cherry and toast, leather and caramel, and on the palate, all the fruits, apple, apricot, cherry, orange, vanilla, toasted nuts, floral notes. It's really good wood, but not like as woody as the other ones. And the finish is just infinite. It goes on and on and on and on. Quickly, Brent, go.
It's a different wood char than the other one that you're saying. And this is just beautiful. It's just it's some nice, beautiful mouthfeel. You get a long-lasting finish. I love where they've gone with this. I was able to visit them, their distillery, just...
recently.
About a couple weeks ago, yeah.
And you didn't bring one of these back now, did you?
Well, I brought
by the
back
way, I tasted no water. I did not put a single drop of water in this. Oh, you cannot tell it's 144.
No, it does not drink
144.
Right. I'm going to try some with water now.
In a million years, you would never know what the proof on this was. No.
Yeah, you couldn't guess this one, you know. But yeah, all those fruits, all the wood flavors, the long finish. There's nothing to say bad about this one. It's very enjoyable.
Now, they nailed it.
Yeah,
beautifully done.
The only bad thing is I don't have a case of it. That's the bad thing.
Yeah. Worse than that is I don't even have a single bottle.
I just added quite a bit of water. Did not touch this. It just gets better. It didn't bring down the... I mean, it's amazing.
Well, we did the first release of their cask strength, and it was outstanding. So when this second batch came in, I reached out and said, could we please have a sample? We'd love to do it on the show.
Still amazing.
And spoiler. Thinking, you know, could it possibly be as good as the last one? I think this one's actually better than the last one. It's fantastic. It hits every note. And again, at 144, almost 145 proof, you'd never know.
Holy smokes.
You'd never know.
Sacrilege here. I'm 50% whiskey, 50% water. It still tastes amazing.
Hazmat.
And huge long finish.
That is sacrilegious.
This is a hazmat with flavor.
I put one drop of water in, it was better without the water. But still,
no, you're
wrong. You should be banished, Harm. 50-50 dilution.
50-50 what they taste. It's what the master distiller tastes when they do barrel samples.
And we're going to rate it.
We are going to rate the A. Smith Bowman Cask Strength Batch Number 2 a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Guys, keep doing what you're doing, because that one was stunning. So Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-host for joining us. Actually, you should be thanking me for joining us on this one. Kiss my ring. You just, after what you guys just tried. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you for allowing me to the pleasure of letting you watch me drink bourbon.
It's not you, it's me. No, actually, it's not me. It is you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And thank you, Maury.
On that note, I'll simply say thank you, Bob. Another spectacular morning in the damp, dark, drippy basement.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Amazing morning in the basement. Wow.
And thank you, Harm.
Call me an Uber, please.
Look, this isn't a Romulan labor camp. I don't have to answer your questions.
Yeah. I thought we called him Mr. Bitter, not Uber.
No, don't call me an Uber. I'm just gonna take a little position on the couch there for a little bit.
This is Madman Bob, and thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle, @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.